And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
What's up, RBLR Nation? How y'all doing? He's back jamming tunes, you know, just really embracing his inner white boy. You know, just doing
hell yeah.
That's how I'll be here. Unfortunately, it's just Carter and Zach today. No Musab. But we are still going to give you some excellent, excellent Bucks content. We've got a really, I don't know if you want to call it fun, interesting, whimsical game this past Sunday to talk about. It was something, that's for sure. But the Bucks won, so, you know, there's that. And then we got another game against the Packers coming up this week that we'll talk about as a preview. Big picture stuff, because the Bucks are now technically in first place in the NFC South somehow.
Win streak, baby!
Yeah, sure. Two games. We'll get into all this. But Zach, say what's up to the people before we start.
What is going on, RBLR Nation? How are you guys doing tonight? Not quite as important, but Carter, how are you doing tonight too, man?
Yeah, am I? Not nearly as important, but you know, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Obviously the Rays trade kind of got me down, man.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to upset people.
Yeah, we'll let our listeners
I'm waiting on my Arizona Diamondbacks hat to come in.
Word. Yeah, for sure. We'll let the Rays people talk about that. But for now, we'll get to it. The Bucks, they won a close one, 29-25. It was a game-winning touchdown. Game-winning drive. That was a touchdown. The Falcons still had a chance at the end, but they couldn't come up with a victory. And 29-25. It was a weird one. There was a lot of kind of strange happenings throughout the game. The Bucks looked pretty bad. And so, is this kind of a victory where you feel like, yeah, they won, but good Lord, everyone was really bad? Or maybe you're more optimistic about it. I don't know. I came away with kind of a bad taste in my mouth after this one.
There was parts of it that I came away with a bad taste in my mouth. I love that we won. I love that Baker let it come back win. I love that all in all, Atlanta is a top 10 defense. I know that sounds crazy, but they are. And Baker had no turnovers. Rashad White ran for 100 yards. So, like, there was a lot of stuff for me to feel good about. I hated the coaching. I hated forcing the ball to Chris Godwin. There was a few things that I hated about the game that kind of brought it down a little bit for me. But all in all, I still walked away happy and optimistic.
Yeah, you know what? I hate to be so Debbie Downer, because like you said, there was a lot of good stuff they won. So there had to be at least a little bit. And there was certainly some good things for them to build upon. And I think the Rashad White performance was really nice. And Baker continues to be an average NFL quarterback, which for what he's getting paid is really good, actually. Yeah. And for in the context of the rest of the NFL, where quarterbacks are falling left and right, we're watching the Tommy DeVitos of the world get victories. I mean, it's not fun. So, you know, there's stuff to be happy about. Yeah. I don't want to necessarily just poo-poo on a victory, because, you know, win's a win, all those cliches. So, I mean, we kind of talked about the positives, but what I want to focus on kind of the negatives for a second, because we talked about the positives, it's a victory, but specifically with regards to the coaching. I love that you brought that up, because I have a laundry list of issues with the coaching this past Sunday. We'll just start with the offensive coordinator, Dave Canales, just kind of settling into this run pass sort of play calling that led to 10 yards or less gained on 5 out of 6 possessions in the middle of the game. I think it was between the second and third quarter. 2 timeouts burned in the second half because you couldn't get the right special teams personnel out. And then the second timeout was burned because of a horrible challenge call. I couldn't.
The worst challenge call I've seen in a long time.
Yes, absolutely terrible. And then 9 players on the field for the touchdown run by Bijan Robinson in the red zone. Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. That kind of speaks for itself. And the 4th-and-2 play call. I know that I was heavily critical of the first time that they got down there, and it was 4th-and-relatively short, and they kicked a field goal. I was pretty critical of that. And then they finally went for it. But good Lord, to run a toss play where Rashad White is 7 yards from the first down marker and 4th down, I mean, it just doesn't get any worse than that. That was pretty horrible. Evans and Godwin were kind of no-shows. They just weren't really involved. And then, of course, blown coverage after blown coverage. I mean, I felt like if Desmond Ridder was an average NFL quarterback, this would have been a blowout. Like, the Falcons would have won by 20 or 30 points. So
it really, to me, is kind of glaring how bad of a defensive coach Todd Bowles is.
Yeah.
Like, that's his specialty. It's not been a secret. Like, he is a defensive-minded guy. And up until this year, our defense has been great to good. And this year, which, I mean, I know I 100% talked about it in the offseason. I know you talked about it in the offseason. Musab, who's not with us tonight, talked about it in the offseason. Our defense is so shallow in every position that we needed one injury, and we knew that our defense was going to be trash. And that's maybe not trash. That's a little extreme, but, you know, not good. And that's exactly what's happening right now, is that our defense is falling apart, which is making it damn near impossible for Tampa to win games, because we have an offense that's not really suited to go out and score 28 points every week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's not a high-powered offense. I mean, you saw it. The yards discrepancy was brutal. They got outgained by 140 yards. That's not a recipe for success.
I mean, Drake London had more yards receiving than Baker had throwing to his whole team.
Yeah, I mean, it's a brutal indictment of both sides, really. But especially the defense, because the Falcons defense, like you said, it's pretty good. I mean, they've got Jesse Bates is the only guy in the NFC that can compete with Antoine Winfield Jr. is Jesse Bates. Like, they're kind of neck and neck for that top safety spot. And then AJ Terrell he was playing hurt, but man, he's a really good young corner. So, yeah, there's a lot to like there on that defense. And the Bucs still managed to take care of the football. They didn't, you know, Baker didn't make any super stupid decisions. I loved that in this game. He was very much calm. He didn't make any of those weird throws where he just chucks it down the field. And it's kind of like, wow, that's clearly an interception. Like, I don't know what you were thinking there. But yeah, there were some positives, but definitely a lot of negatives, especially in regards to the coaching staff. And like you mentioned, Todd Bowles is a defensive minded guy, and this defense is not playing well. It's injured. It's banged up. I get it, but good gracious. It's not looking good. But like we mentioned earlier, the Bucs are in first place in the NFC South. So, I mean, what chances do you give the Bucs of winning this division after the W?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I think we have a pretty easy route to win the division at this point.
Easy. Okay.
And it's Tampa, so anything could happen.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying we've given ourselves the best chance to win the division. Atlanta was the one team we had to split a series with. We had to beat Atlanta this game in order to make it realistically a possibility for us to get into the playoffs. And we did that. So now we beat the Saints. We beat the Panthers. I don't think there's a chance that we don't make the playoffs as leading the NFC South.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I might disagree a little bit. I think that the tough thing about it is that the Falcons just have a really easy non-divisional schedule. Yeah. And they have the same divisional schedule. You know what I mean? Like, they get to play the Panthers and the Saints just the same as the Bucs. But the Bucs have to play the Packers. We'll get into the Packers. But the Jaguars, I think we can at least agree, Jaguars are a pretty darn good team. I don't really see the Bucs beating them.
They're all right.
Yeah, I don't see the Bucs beating the Jaguars, excuse me. And the Falcons get to play the Colts and the Bears instead of the Packers and the Jaguars. I feel like, you know, we can talk about the Packers later, but the Colts and the Bears are both inferior teams to both of those teams. And
you think so?
I do. I mean, the record.
I would put the Colts up with the Jaguars at this point. The Jaguars have not been very good lately, and I'll stand on that hill and die on it.
For sure, but the Bucs haven't been very good all season.
Well, No. I agree. The Bucs. I'm saying Colts and Jaguars. Like,
well, the thing is, the Bucs lost to the Colts. You know, so I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. You know, the Jaguars are a division leader. I will grant the Jaguars are incredibly banged up. Trevor Lawrence does not look. He's
not fighting good right now.
Yeah, he's fighting through that ankle injury, which. Yeah. I get it, because CJ Berthard or whoever the Yeah, or Beathard, excuse me. My apologies to C.J. Beathard.
But that points out exactly why he's pushing through.
Right, exactly, for sure. Because you don't want to give C.J. Beathard the keys to try to lead your team to the playoffs. It's definitely a tough proposition in that sense. I don't know. If I had to put a number on it, I'm still at kind of 50-50. You know, it's kind of just like a coin flip. Because the Bucks could go 500. Like, they could easily beat the Panthers and the Saints, or they could beat the Packers and the Panthers, or some combination of the two. And if they beat the Saints and the Panthers, if they win out the divisional matchups, that'll give them a huge leg up in the tiebreaker. So if it does come down to that, they'll be set. So if they do that, I'd give them more like a 60 or 70% chance. But yeah. The Falcons are weird. You know, they're a weird team. Like, they play really poorly. They don't take care of the football. Desmond Ridder, I mean, good Lord, it's a very mixed bag.
I'm shocked that Taylor Heineke's not playing yet.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it? A bit odd, isn't it, as British people would say. But, I'm kind of with you. It's a weird thing. To see them kind of just like say, all right, man, go get him, Tiger. Like, he's not producing. And this is a team that's competitive. They invested a lot of resources, a lot of salary cap into this team this offseason. To see them just kind of roll the ball out and say, here you go, Desmond. I know they had that flirtation with Taylor Heineke for a week, but my goodness, other than that, it's been just the Desmond Ridder show, for better or for worse. Mostly for worse. But there were a lot of positives, and they got the W. So we're going to do players of the week. I know we both have different ones, so it'll be a little bit fun. Mine is Rashad White. We already mentioned it. He ran for 100 yards. He was his usual dynamic self in the pass catching game. He hauled in, you know, the little screen and go. We've seen it a couple of times this year. He's dangerous in the open field, and he really played well this past weekend. And he also did really well on a multiple fantasy teams of mine. So shout out to Rashad. Playoffs are coming up. It's real important. So Rashad White, my player of the game. How about you, Zach? Who's your player of the week?
That's a great player of the game. You know how much I've talked trash on Rashad White. In these last 2 weeks, it's been a pleasant surprise. So
absolutely,
that's not a bad pick at all. And I know Musab had the same pick as you, I believe. So mine, though, is Antoine Winfield. I mean, I've said his name so much this season. He is everywhere. What, we had that safety? Was this the game we had the safety in? Yeah. So he had the safety. The fumble that led to the safety.
Right. Yeah. No, I get you for sure.
Had a pick that Carlton Davis screwed him out of. Carlton Davis played a really good game too. That's the only reason.
Yeah. For me, after that penalty, he was fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I just the defense, I don't think, kept us in this game, but I do think that Winfield had consistent pressure and consistently was everywhere on the field, so he gets it for me.
Yeah, I mean, as usual, you could really give Antoine Winfield Jr. the player of the week a lot of times. He's been really, really fantastic this year. And also a little bit of breaking news, as much as you can say it. It happened this afternoon. Keyshawn Vaughn is officially waived. Chase Edmonds had himself a heck of a game this past Sunday. He was really, really good. I mean, really good. He was good in the context of being a backup running back.
Exactly. Yeah. He looked good when he got the chance, and sure. I'll give him that for sure.
Absolutely.
This cut just comes at such a weird time for me. Like, what are you bringing somebody in?
Yeah, it's because weird.
If not, then what's the point of cutting him?
Right.
So I guess maybe a Marcus Peters signing. That is who the Raiders just got, right? It was Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
Marcus Peters signing coming in the next 12 hours.
For sure, yeah. Because
it doesn't happen.
Yeah, the Bucks are known for this season for bringing in free agents.
100%, duh.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not like a Vaughn – it doesn't make a difference that he's gone from this team is essentially what I'm getting at. But the timing just seems so weird to me to waive him. What, we're at week 15 now, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, you waited this long to waive him? Like, he hasn't done anything all season. So in my head, it like directly has to correlate to a move. Even though I know it's not going to, it's just how my brain is like trying to process
No, I get you.
Why you would cut it this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like trying to process the Tyler Glasnow trade. Ah, ba-doom-tsh. Sorry, I had to throw that little. sorry. No. But, yeah, it's weird. Maybe it means that Sean Tucker is more involved moving forward, or, like, he's the third running back.
Which so. I wouldn't be mad about.
Yeah, I mean, give the guy a shot. He's young. He's trying to settle into the NFL. So, yeah, I mean, who knows? It's kind of a weird one for sure. It is very late into the season to be just guys. Especially now that they're in the playoff hunt, quote unquote, which feels ridiculous to say, but it's true. So yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a bit weird. So we'll see, you know, we'll see if there are any corresponding moves. I don't know what to make of it, but it's certainly interesting. But what else is interesting is if you're looking for not only a good deal, but also a way to make a difference, you know, it's the holidays. You want to do something for your community and stuff like that. So that is why RBLR is hosting the Ugly Shirt Beautiful Cause. You know, we're teaming up with the Bolt Report. 100% of profit will be donated to Toys for Tots. So definitely check it out, shop.rblrsports.com. It's $28.99, and you can get a variety of, you know, ugly Christmas sweaters. Maybe you're looking for something to wear to your office Christmas party or your family Christmas party, whatever Christmas party you're looking at. Definitely check it out, and, you know, it's for a good cause. So check it out. It's awesome, and, you know, definitely get yourself one. So after that little plug, we are going to move.
Breaking news. Not really breaking news, but they cut Keyshawn Vaughn and signed Deidre and Sanat to the 53-man.
Ooh. So
that's the corresponding move.
Go Bulls. Yeah, because Vita Vea, we'll get into the injuries as well.
Yeah.
Vita Vea and Golston, Will Golston, missing his first game in like
forever.
Yeah, like he's never missed a game. So Vita Vea, Will Golston are out for this Packers game. That's coming up. The Bucks are taking on the Packers, in case you didn't know that. They're headed to Lambeau Field for a December matchup. Yeesh. Good luck to those guys. It is certainly a little bit different climate-wise than Florida. And, they released their injury report, and unfortunately Vita Vea is out. Will Golston is out. There are a couple of other guys that are
Carlton doubtful. Davis.
It's
a big report.
It's unfortunately a pretty big report, which, you know, definitely not fun. So, you know, we'll see how that affects things. Carlton Davis, like you mentioned, is out, and they got a few other questionable guys like Godwin and Dean, and Devin White is questionable. So we'll see. And I was wrong before. Vita Vea is doubtful, but. Unfortunately,
yeah, I think it's Vea and one of the other ones is doubtful too. What was it, Dean?
Vea and Ryan Neal.
Yeah.
Which is also a bummer because Ryan Neal was actually starting to pick things up. You know, he was starting up
playing linebacker for us. Like, and it's not that he's a great linebacker, but he stepped up and he's not giving up anything stupid at linebacker, which is all you can really ask for from a safety playing linebacker.
For sure, yeah. So, I mean, it's a bit tough. They're dealing with a litany of injuries. And DeAndre Snott, go Bulls. He's a USF guy. So he'll be plugging in some holes defensively. You know, him, Greg Gaines, Kalijah Kancey, they're going to be, you know, doing their thing on the defensive line. And hopefully they can kind of pick up the slack here as they move forward against the Packers. But how do the Bucks move forward? How can they avoid an I don't want to call it a poor performance because it was a win, but let's just be honest, it wasn't great. And I don't think that the way that they played against the Falcons is going to get it done against the Packers. But maybe you disagree. I mean, do you think that how do you kind of look at the Packers versus the Falcons since they just played them?
So I went into a deep dive in the stats. I know, shocking to some people, but these teams actually line up, like Green Bay and Atlanta line up surprisingly close in a lot of statistics. As far as pass defense, Green Bay is ranked 8th in yards per game allowed, and that is 200.2 yards for Green Bay. Atlanta is ranked 9th at 203 passing yards per game. And then you look at the rushing, or no, this is defense, sorry. This is passing defense allowed, is they rank 8th with 200.2, and then Atlanta's 9th with 203. This is where I'm excited, though. Their run defense, Atlanta is ranked 16th with 110.9 yards per game. Green Bay is ranked all the way down at 31st. with 141.8 yards per game allowed. If Rashad White has another game, like you'll never hear me say this again. This is a game that I think Rashad White could impact massively. Like, I think he could have a huge game against this Green Bay defense. And as far as offense goes, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing. Atlanta's ranked 22nd in passing yards per game, and Green Bay is ranked 18th. So they're within 20 yards of each other in passing yards per game and run offense. Atlanta's actually 6th, and Green Bay's 19th. And, again, it's only like 30-yard difference. So these teams match up, like, shockingly close, a lot closer than I expected because – you know, we see Atlanta or we see Green Bay and they're out here beating Kansas City and just looking like a good team. And then you look deeper into the numbers of what they've done this year. And you're like, oh, they're really kind of mid if we're being honest.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree with you in a lot of those aspects. Like the Green Bay Packers are not a good team. You know, I'm not going to say they're a great team. They're a playoff team. Like they're a Super Bowl contender. No. Of course not. But I think that they're a different, you know, they're a bit different in that they're playing in Lambeau Field, you know, they're playing at home. But I think the biggest difference between the two teams is the quarterback position. You know, Jordan Love has
really,
I'm a huge Jordan Love guy.
I like Jordan Love. I say really as in if I'm surprised that you think that's the biggest difference, because in my opinion, the biggest difference is coaching.
Okay, I can get on that too, because Matt LaFleur does a great job there in Green Bay.
Far better than Arthur Smith.
Of course, yeah, for sure. Because Arthur Smith has like the best, like, I don't want to say he's like they're like 49ers caliber playmakers, but he's got a pretty decent treasure trove of, you know, guys to get the ball to, like Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts.
They might not be San Francisco, but if you gave me a franchise and were like, pick some players, I'd pick a lot of Atlanta's players on a franchise over, like, I would take Drake London over Deebo Samuel right now. Look, roll your eyes. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk is the best receiver on that team right now.
Okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean we have to bring Drake London into the equation.
I would bring Drake London. Younger, more explosive, in my opinion. He's not bad.
Come on, Zach. We were getting on the same page.
I'll still be on the same page with you. We just have different opinion on this.
All right. But I am with you. Like the Falcons have that young, explosive offense. But right now, Deebo Samuel is head and heels above Drake London in my view, at least. But regardless of whether we disagree, if you gave the Falcons playmakers to Kyle Shanahan as opposed to Arthur Smith, I think things would be very different.
They would all be Pro Bowlers, without a doubt.
For sure. But I think another thing is if you gave, you know, those same playmakers to anyone but Desmond Ridder, like I would argue that Desmond Ridder is probably the worst starting quarterback in the NFL. Like I'm not talking about the litany of injuries,
the guys
that have went down. Like, yeah, sure, Desmond Ridder is better than Zach Wilson. Sure. But Zach Wilson's not the starting quarterback.
Oh, Aaron, yeah. I see what you're saying. And I don't think I disagree with that. I think that he's definitely bottom five. Like, yeah. I can't think of any right off the top of my head that are necessarily worse than him.
I mean, the only guy that probably is worse than him is Mac Jones, maybe.
Oh, Mac Jones, both the Joneses.
Yeah, yeah. Although Daniel was a bit hurt, and they went to the playoffs last year, so we can talk about Desmond Ridder all night long. But the ultimate point is that Jordan Love is head and shoulders above Desmond Ridder. And he's doing a lot more with a lot less. Like the Packers receiving core. I mean, I love Christian Watson, although he's going to be out this week. But man, it gets real thin after him.
Jalen Reed and
yeah, just a lot of youth, a lot of young guys. Right, for sure. I don't know. It's a tough thing. And I think Jordan Love is going to have a really good game. I think he's going to be really explosive, and I think that the Packers defense is just good enough to limit the Bucs a little bit more, you know, than the Falcons, and they're playing in Lambeau Field, you know, with all due respect to the Falcons Mercedes-Benz Dome or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they pop all that fake noise in, man.
Yeah, right. So I think it's a different animal, you know, playing in Lambeau in December. I mean, that's like you know, when they thrive, you know, that's their big moment in the year.
Yeah.
So I do think that the crowd will play a factor. I think that the road game aspect of it will be play a little bit more than it usually does. So I don't know, in my mind, sure, on a neutral field, the Packers and the Falcons are relatively similar. I still think the Packers are a little better because they did beat Kansas City this past, you know, this season. They've beaten some kind of decent teams. You know, they beat the Texans earlier this year.
They've also gotten stomped a few times, though.
That's true. And they also lost to the Falcons head-to-head in week two. So that's a good point. Like, you know, you're not entirely wrong. It's just I don't know. I'm a big Jordan Love guy, so I'm a big fan of his, and I think he's got, you know, he's got a good thing going there, and so I think he's going to make a big difference this weekend against the Bucs. But you know, moving on to our next topic,
you know, we brought up how Green Bay's used to playing in the cold, and this is an advantage to them. I feel like it's important to remember that Baker played the first majority of his career in Cleveland, which is maybe not as cold as Green Bay, but it's pretty chilly. And
for sure,
I think that that's a positive thing to take from it, is that Baker's used to cold weather games.
Absolutely.
Granted, he's gotten used to the warm weather games now, but he's used to cold weather games. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how that translates into game day. Like, I don't know how cold it's supposed to be. I don't know if there's supposed to be snow on the radar, but this could very possibly be a good game on either side. I think both offenses are going to go off this week.
Wow. Okay. I don't know. I'm going to go off
like as much as we can go off as the Bucks.
Right. Yeah. Cause the Bucks going off and a regular going off might have very different meanings.
Yeah.
But I'm going to bring up a topic cause I think I'm bracing for a blowout this weekend. I know that we're going to disagree on this, but I think that as poorly as the Bucs played this weekend against a really, really bad Falcons team, I know the Packers aren't great, but they're well coached and they have a quarterback that at least won't lose them any games. Desmond Ridder, it feels like that Desmond Ridder is literally the biggest reason that the Falcons aren't even just a competent NFL team.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, him and Arthur Smith. So I'm a little nervous. I feel like this – we'll get into our predictions at the end of the show, but I do feel like this game could get out of hand pretty quickly. Do you disagree? Do you think that the Bucs are going to be pretty competitive in this game, even if they don't win necessarily?
I do. I think that it's going to be a very close game, and I think that we may be giving a little bit too much credit to Green Bay in this conversation because, like I said, they have a 6-7 record too.
That's true.
They've played very good in some games, and they've made some really good teams look bad. But they've also played really bad against really bad teams.
They lost to the Raiders. My goodness.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I can't even say that after last night's game.
Right, yeah, that Raiders.
I just realistically think that, like, Green Bay is averaging 21 points a game, 21 and a half points a game. Like, that's something that Tampa can do. So I think that it's going to be a close game, and I think it might surprise some people.
You know, I hope so, and I really do. Like, I hope – you know, when I talk negative about the Bucs, it's just because I'm trying to be realistic. You know?
Exactly. And
I don't want to watch a bad football game. Like, I'm not trying to sit on my couch and sit down and watch Baker Mayfield get wrecked all four quarters and the defense get torn shreds. Of course not. But, I don't know. I just don't have a lot of faith in this one. I'm a little nervous. I think that the Packers are playing, you know, they're on their home field. I think the loss last week against the Giants might be a bit of a detriment to the Bucs because the Packers are going to be like, man, we just lost to, you know, Tommy DeVito, one of the worst teams in football with a backup quarterback. Like, this is not good, guys. We got to, you know, get our stuff together. So I don't know.
Yeah, but they could be like Tampa and not let it snowball. So
Right. That's also here. Yeah, they could not let it snowball and let it turn into a 1-6 stretch to end out the season.
But it's not snowballing, baby.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Looking more big picture, because we've kind of talked this Green Bay matchup to death. You mentioned earlier that you think that if the Bucs go 2-2 and if they win both of their division games, then they could realistically win the division. Is that an accurate statement?
I mean, it is an accurate statement that I said that.
Oh, well, I meant like, I'm sorry. I meant like, do you think no, that's?
Yeah, I stand behind realistically the only threat to us is, and this, again, this is opinionated, like the only real threat to us is Atlanta.
For sure. Of course.
I don't think that the Saints went out. I'm not stressing the Saints. I'm pretty confident in our ability to beat the Saints and the Panthers. Yeah, my concern is if the Falcons win out, I do agree that they have a slightly easier schedule the remaining way. But it would not shock me to see Arthur Smith and Desmond Ridder.
That's very true. That up. Yeah.
So I think realistically Tampa could go 3-1 or 2-2 the rest of the way. I'm banking on 2-2 being what we finish the rest of the season. But I see a path to us going 3-1 the rest of the way. So I think if we go 2-2, we can win the division. I think we go 3-1, we win the division.
That, yeah, I can get on board with that, absolutely. Yeah, because as bad as the Bucs are, the Falcons, you could argue, are slightly worse. They're at least as bad as the Bucs, as we saw this past weekend. So, yeah, I mean, both teams could go 2-2, and then the Bucs win the division. And that's you know, easy peasy lemon squeezy. But
it's such a weird position for us to be in, because had you asked us 4 weeks ago if we thought we had an actual chance at the playoffs, we're like, not a chance. Like, we're done. I mean, I think I was still positive just because I'm trying to stay positive for the Bucs. But, like, in my head, I was like, yeah, we're done. we're done for.
Yeah. But
this, and I think it's kind of telling on the fan base this year, because, you know, we get into first place this week, and I haven't really seen much on Twitter about, like, a positive outlook. And it's almost like we wanted to lose at the end of the year, you know, later, Bulls. You know, if we get in the playoffs and win a playoff game, Bulls is staying.
Yikes. So, all right. So let's say, let me ask you two different questions kind of at the same time. So you're the GM of the Bucs. You fired Todd Bowles. Well, you probably would have fired Todd Bowles like 2 weeks or 4 months ago. But let's say it, because I don't think he's getting fired in the middle of the season. Like, I think that's
exactly.
But let's say you're Jason Light. You fire Todd Bowles. Yeah. Okay. But what do you think the Bucs are going to do?
What do I think the Bucs do? I think it depends on how the season finishes out.
Oh, okay.
So I think if we make the playoffs, I don't think Bowles goes anywhere. If we lose the playoff, or if we don't make the playoffs, or we get blown out first round, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think if we make the playoffs and are competitive in at least the game we get to play, I think Bowles stays. If we get blown out in the playoffs or don't make the playoffs, I think he goes.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, you know, I'm kind of with you. I think that if I'm the Bucs, though, I don't know that I fire Bowles regardless of how the season ends. I'm not a huge fan of this incoming coaching class in regards to realistic expectations, like who the Bucs could hire. Because the top coaching candidates, there are a lot of really attractive job opportunities out there for head coaches. The Chargers just fired Brandon Staley. That's going to be the number one. They got Justin Herbert. They've got, you know, a pretty talented roster that's just really underperformed inexplicably. So the Bucs are kind of going to be like, you know, they're not exactly the Oakland A's from Moneyball. Like, they're not the last team to the trough, so to speak, but they're definitely not, you know, one of the first two or three.
And I saw a thing on ESPN that has them ranked as the sixth best coaching position.
Yeah, and that's about right. But that's the thing. Like, is the sixth best head coach that's going to be available better than Todd Bowles? I don't know.
I mean, I think – oh, God. See, that's a tricky question, because it's going to sound like I'm just dogging on Bowles. But he hasn't done anything.
Right. I mean, really, for sure.
So – I don't want to win 8 games and be happy with it. You know what I mean?
Sure. Like, of course. No one
I don't care. The playoffs, that's the end goal, is the Super Bowl. If we get into the playoffs with an 8-whatever record, like an 8-9 record.
Yeah, 8-9. That would be.
If we get into the playoffs with an 8-9 record, like, then we look like the Commanders back in the day. Like,
right. Yeah.
Good job for winning the worst division in football. Like, it doesn't mean anything to me. And to me, that's not an accolade on Todd Bowles' resume. That's just the fact that you coach the Bucs that are in the NFC South. Like, good job, dude. I think I could coach the Bucks to an 8-9 record in the NFC South. Like, that's not, and I'm not saying I'm a good coach. Of course, right.
That's my argument.
Like, I would take, I could think of six people that I would take over Todd Bowles, if that makes sense.
Six people that are going to be available?
I mean, I don't know if they'd be available. I don't know if they would take the Bucks job, but I'm saying if I were in the GM's shoes, I already have a list of six people that are probably available already or that could be available that are in offensive coordinator positions that I would at least be happy with over Todd Bowles. I put a list out on Twitter a little while back of like my top three, but I could name three more that I would want.
Yeah, and I think the issue is, what if, like, this is kind of a worst-case scenario. What if the Bucks fire Todd Bowles and they go out there and their top six candidates, their dream candidates, they all get, you know, snatched up. They all get taken by other coaching positions. Then you're kind of like, well, I would just hate for the Bucks to have to hire a lame duck. I don't want them to hire a Lovie Smith like the Texans did. I know they've hired D'Amico Ryans, and he's been fantastic. They're on the up and up. But that's not because they hired Lovie Smith for a year. You know, like, their success is not because they hired a lame duck coach. It's because they found the right guy the next year. So I feel like they could have just run it back with Collins, that, or whoever the head coach was.
I think it was Collins.
It was Dave Collins. But regardless, they could have just ran it back with him and said, you know what, man, we're just going to give you another year. We're really sorry. We're probably not going to keep you on, but hiring a guy for a year is just insanity. Like, that's just, that can't happen.
I don't disagree with that. Like, I think if they go out and they are like intentionally hiring a guy just for 1 year, then that's dumb. Sure. I wouldn't do that either.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to sit through another year of Bowles, because we're not improving under Bowles. We are declining under Bowles.
Yeah, and I don't know. I also don't necessarily want to put the – because I know you mentioned Super Bowl expectations for the Bucks, and I get that long-term it is a
Super Bowl. Yeah, and I'm not saying that the Super Bowl is within shot for us right now.
Right.
I guess just as a fan, you should not be happy with making a wild card round because you won the NFC South.
Of course.
Or as a GM, like – if I have a losing record at the end of the season, whether I make the playoffs or not, that's not a good season in my mind.
Right. Not for sure.
And I guess that's how I look at it. Like, I get that he should – you made the playoffs. Like, that's good. But we could have been better and maybe got a first-round bye, maybe done this. And it's not all on Bowles. And, again, I'm not saying that was a realistic thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, last season we had Tom Brady as the quarterback.
Right, for sure.
Last season finished 8-9.
Absolutely. Like, that's true. Yeah, I think it's hard because, you know, Todd Bowles is not the Super Bowl winning head coach of the future. He's not the guy of the future. But I just, like I've been saying, I don't think that the seventh best head coach is the guy of the future either, or the sixth best head coach, wherever you want to put the Bucks.
So I guess my argument to that, like my question to you is that worth a shot though? What if you get the sixth or seventh best coach that you, like on your list, you get the, I mean, I would imagine we wouldn't get the sixth best coach on our list. We probably have a list, and it might be second or third, but is that shot worth the risk of losing Todd Bowles?
Right. I mean, we're not losing Todd Bowles much.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even if we take that shot and it fails, look, I don't want to be the Carolina Panthers firing two coaches in 2 years, but also, like, I don't want to be the Patriots holding on to Todd Bowles when he's falling apart, which is what Bill Belichick is doing.
Right. And I get that. You know, I don't necessarily disagree wholeheartedly. It's hard because I think that if they make the playoffs, their draft position is going to be so blech that they're not going to be able to draft a franchise quarterback. They're going to have to kind of stand pat. I think
they're not happy with.
Okay, fair enough. But I think that if you like, the attractiveness of the position wouldn't be there this season. But I do think that if they brought back Bowles, they brought back Baker, just kind of ran it back, even if maybe they win the division again next year, then it's four straight division titles. And like, that's pretty darn good. Like, that's fun. I know it's first round exits every year, but I don't know, man. That's pretty cool. And, like, even if he doesn't, if they don't make the playoffs, if they crap out this year, then you're still in the same position, if not better, because hopefully you'll have a better draft pick so you can maybe draft a quarterback of the future and you can bring someone in. Because you know how GMs or coaches love to be married to a quarterback. They love to commit to a guy. And, you know, if you bring in a head coach, Baker's not his guy, you know, that whole cliche, which is just ridiculous. But, you know, whatever. That's another conversation for another time. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a delicate situation, and we'll certainly talk this topic to death once the offseason comes.
Yeah, and it feels like this is one of those things that if we're going to do it, it needs to be right after the season ends. So our coach can realistically, if he wants a new quarterback, which I hope he doesn't because I'm still on the Baker bandwagon, but if he doesn't want – or if he does want a new quarterback, he can make that happen in the draft and free agency. We can't wait till everyone else has already hired a coach.
Yeah, of course. And I think the Bucs are going to know that. That's not – that's yeah. Kind of a non-starter for me. But then again, it's the Bucs. You know, who knows, I guess. So I don't know. But regardless, we're coming towards the end of our episode. So before we do, I want to do over-under. What you got for me, Zach?
All right. So – I had all these kind of planned out before I saw the injury report. But over or under 1.5 interceptions. Because for the Bucks, yeah, like okay. The Bucks turn over Jordan Love.
I love Jordan Love. He's been a gunslinger this season. You know, he's been throwing the ball around really well. Top 10 in EPA per play. Really, really good. But, man, he turns the ball for a lot.
But yeah, I believe he has, what, 11 interceptions?
11 picks, yeah, 11 picks. He's down there. So I want to say I think he throws one, but I don't think he throws two. So I'm going to go under. And that doesn't even necessarily have a lot to do with the Bucs' secondary injuries. I was kind of expecting, you know, at least Davis to be out, and you know, either Davis or Dean are always out every week. It seems
right, exactly.
Just the way it is this season. And then Dean or Neil was going to be out. I wasn't really surprised by that. So yeah, mine's I'm going to go under on that. How about you, Zach?
Originally it was over. I don't pay attention to the injury reports up until like the day before the game.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to speculate. Yeah.
Because it changes so much. So I don't know the injury report until the day before the game. So
for sure.
My original thought was over. And I think I'm going to stick with that because, you know, we've talked about Davis being out and Dean potentially. And you know who's not out and who is constantly getting his hands on the ball?
For sure. Yeah. No, I'm with
you. Winfield Jr. Yeah. I think he has a pick, and I think Zion McCollum has a pick. I'm calling it out.
I hope that would be awesome. I'm a huge Zion McCollum believer.
He has grown on me so much this season. I like him. And I saw it's another thing I saw on Twitter is he's on track to have more snaps and more defensive plays than Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, and he's already got more tackles than Dean this season. So it's like I'm falling for him, man. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, it's a great value pick. Like he was picked in the sixth round. So if you're getting a sixth round pick with a guy that's doing all that, that's really impressive. So regardless of I know how many blown coverages he has a game. I know that he doesn't play super well. I'm sure if you do a deep dive on, you know, a separation allowed and all of that stuff, he wouldn't rank very well. That's for sure.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, he's a depth piece, and I think he's a very good depth piece. I think for, you know, the fourth corner, I guess you could call him, since he's kind of the backup outside corner. I think he's one of the better backup outside corners in football,
yeah.
Which isn't a great thing to say about a guy, but it's also not
– I know that.
Right, but it's also not horrible. Like, there are far worse things.
100%.
So I don't know. He's starting to grow on me as well. But, yeah, I'm still going to go under on the picks. What else you got for me on the over?
The other one is, this came up in the stats, Rashad White over or under 115 yards.
Oh, all purpose?
No, just rushing this week.
Just rushing?
Dude, on Green Bay's run defense is not good.
Ah, still under. The Bucks really? The Bucks are not a good running team. You know,
they're not, but he had 100 yards against a far better Atlanta run defense.
I get it. And I hope I have been a huge Rashad White fan all year, but 115.
Yeah, like a changing of the tides right now. Because
I know. You're more excited.
I've got over. I think Rashad White has a really big game this week.
Wow. Man, how times have
I don't know that I like it.
It's not sitting well with you?
Yeah, my belly's starting to rumble a little bit. Something's feeling the hot snakes and bubble guts, man. It's not going good.
Man, hot snakes and bubble guts. That's a Tennessee saying if I've ever heard one.
No, but that's a Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec. Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I got to step up my game with Parks and Rec. I used to be way more knowledgeable.
One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I got to go under because I do think that Chase Edmonds having a good game kind of cuts into it. If you went total team rushing yards, I'd probably take the over. But just Rashad White, I think he gets involved in the passing game so much that it kind of eats into his carries or snaps in pure run situations.
That's fair.
And, yeah, I think Edmonds plays a bigger role because he looked really impressive this past week. I really think that he's played his way into earning some more snaps and just kind of being a bit of a 1-2 punch, if you will, which is something that has not existed in the Bucs organization for
like – Yeah, it's more like a 1-2 girl fight.
Yeah, or like a 1-2 slap or something, I guess you could call it. Yeah, it's a 1-2, like drunk slap, I guess. I don't know. It's definitely not a 1-2 punch, but it's starting to develop. You know, it's getting better. And, total team rushing yards I would go over. But, yeah, Rashad White individually, 115. I'm unfortunately going to take the under on that one. That's as big a Rashad White fan
that's
as I am.
That I'm going over.
I hope you're right. That if Rashad White has over 115 yards, the Bucs take this win. They take it swimming. You know, running away easily. Which, speaking of that, we got prediction time now. I'll start off this time. I got them losing 31-10. I know that's a big number. I know that's a blowout. But unfortunately, that's just how I feel. That's just how I think it's going to play out. I'm not sold on this Bucs team at all. They're not a very good team, unfortunately. They play in a really bad division. And I think the Packers, the Packers have beaten the Lions. They beat Kansas City. They've beaten some really good teams. They've also lost to some really bad teams, of course. But, I don't see this playing out very well. I see the Packers beating them down. And I see Jordan Love having a huge game, maybe throwing for 300 or 400 yards. So that's kind of my bold take, I guess you could call it. 31-10 Packers. How about you, Zach?
Damn!
Yeah.
So again, before I saw the injury report, I saw your score and I was like, you know what? I'm feeling reverse. Then I realized how wild I sounded for a second. I do have Tampa scoring 31, but I do have Green Bay scoring 24.
Okay. All right. I dig that.
I think it's a close game, and I do think Rashad White has a big game, and I think Baker plays a game manager in this game. I don't think we're going to see him throwing for 300 yards, but I could see 250 put up on Green Bay.
I hate to break it to you, brother, but Baker's been a game manager like this whole year. he's been great at it.
I agree. He's been a game manager.
For sure, and he's been a very good one. I think that label gets mispersonified, like it gets a bad draft.
You see the Cam Newton stuff on that? Where he's like, Brock Purdy's a game manager. Dak Prescott's a game manager.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not winning you games, but they're not losing you games.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Tom Brady was a game manager, man. Yeah. He really was, and I'll take it. I think people make it a negative connotation, right. But I think that it's a solid, I'll take a game manager. If he's not throwing picks and he's getting us wins, he might not be the one making the wins, but he's getting us there, I'll take it.
For sure. Yeah, and it speaks to building a team around a quarterback as opposed to like – picking a quarterback and saying, hey, you go build us a team. Go make everyone better. Like, no, that's not
true. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson's contract. I don't necessarily want a game changer at quarterback.
All right. Well, not wanting Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes.
No. Hold on. I would take both of them, but I'd rather have pieces around my quarterback than just my quarterback.
I mean, of course, in an ideal world, but I'd take Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes over like Baker Mayfield and a really
good. I hate Patrick Mahomes, especially after that Bills game. He's
I'm with you. Like, he's annoying. I hate him. He gets all the calls, but
great quarterback though. Yeah. Great quarterback. I'm not taking that away from him. Sure.
Well, anyways, before we get into other weird NFL conversations, I want to thank you all for tuning in. If you liked what you heard, if you want to hear more of our incoherent ramblings where we both either disagree or agree or whatever, hit the like and subscribe button wherever you're tuning in, YouTube, Spotify, iTunes, whatever you whatever the youngsters are using these days. And also definitely give us a follow on socials at RBLR Sports. We got Instagram, Twitter or X, TikTok and Facebook. Definitely check us out there. And thank you again for listening to us. And as always, go Bucks.
Go Rays. Oh, go Rays. Go.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.